you think gave the secret of the atom to Einstein? Of course Lucifer did. He was with God when he made the world out of the stones of fire, which are the atoms that the world is made out of. Every living thing and dead thing, anything, is made out of atoms. It's invisible, but it's there. All right, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Here's where pride came in and brought about the downfall of Lucifer, the most powerful, the most beautiful, and the most trusted one of God's archangels. Because of pride, he said, your heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He knew everything there was to know. And in that great knowledge, his heart was lifted up and exalted because of his beauty, because of his knowledge, and because of his wisdom. But God said, I'll cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And God writes in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 about how the devil began in his rebellion against God, who he is, and what his end will be. And all through the Bible, of course, tells about the great devices the devil has perfected to lead people astray and into hell and to make rebels against God out of every human being that he can. But I'll tell you, God tells us the three things that will cause us to be rebels, and that is pride, fullness of bread, and idleness of time. That has brought the downfall of nations and churches and empires. And God said, look over this planet. It's strewn with the debris and ruin of great empires that have exalted themselves through pride against the knowledge of God. And God says, I don't want you to fall victim to this same deadly pride and affluence that has always led to destruction. All right, I want to show you something from the New Testament now to go along with this, found in James, the 5th chapter, about the terrible blight that pride and affluence can bring to a church, or a Christian especially, and corrupt them. In James, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ah, what a warning. You've heaped treasure together for the last days. That's what we're living in the midst of now. Great men with their great wealth. God won't have, God can't get it. It's all put out into all kind of innovations and all types of investments and propagating their memory and building memorials and great big buildings. Who needs a big building? The building that God delights in is this old body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the building God puts great worth upon, great price upon, great value is attached to this old body to keep it holy as the temple of the living God. Behold, continuing in James 5 verse 4, behold, I hire the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which are reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That means the Lord of hosts. God hears the cries of men and women that work for nothing while others get rich, while some live in velvet, others are living in squalor. I'll tell you, it's not God's will. And God says, I'm gonna balance the scales here, and I'm gonna judge the world in equity and the poor in mercy. Praise God, and it's coming to pass. He goes on in verse 5, you've lived in pleasure on the earth. Here's the indictment, same as the prophet in Ezekiel. You've lived in pleasure on the earth, and you've been wanton. That word wanton means you're unruly. God can't handle you. You've nourished your heart, says, in a day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not yet resist you. So he said to us as Christians, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You're going to have to be patient, beloved. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Also, that speaks enough for itself. I could comment a lot, but I have too many scriptures. 1 Timothy 6, God continuing here in the New Testament, warning here about this age of affluence and the pride that it produces in the lives of even God's people. They become proud and haughty and rebellious against God, and they conform always to the way of the heathen. When a man or woman becomes proud and haughty, they always go the way of the heathen, and the church is full of heathenism today and paganism. That is grieving the Holy Spirit of our God that he will not accept. In 1 Timothy 6, in verse 6, the great apostle warns, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And we leave here, we're all going to leave here just as poor as a Job's turkey, so to speak. All you're going to have is that suit the undertaker puts on you. They can stick it in your coffin. They can build you a pyramid and bury you in it. They can just make the coffin and all more elaborate, but that'll not make it any better for you where we're going to. We brought nothing in. We're going to carry nothing with us. In having food and raiment, let us be there with content, for they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. My Lord, have mercy, just like the prophet said, that it'll bring about pride. It'll bring fullness of bread. It'll bring idleness of time that will lead to apostasy and destruction and finally hell. We've got to avoid these things. Why? Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money now, said the love of the money, which while some coveted after. They've erred from the faith. You can't live by faith. When you got too much in your hand, you won't have enough in your heart to serve God with. And you pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. God said, don't run to get them, run away from them. That's the reason why I'm going to take my mother's legacy and lay it on this altar and dedicate it to God. She didn't leave it for me to squander. She left it for me to use it. As Ecclesiastes 7 and 11 said, wisdom is good with an inheritance. If you got wisdom, it's good to get an inheritance. If you're not a fool, I'll tell you, she didn't leave it no fool. God's going to get that good to use of my mother's legacy, bless her old heart, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And he said, man of God, you flee these things. What do I need with money if I'm going to live by faith and demonstrate it in a lifestyle that the church has sort of lost any vision of or any recognition of? They somehow become insensitive to it. We've got to sensitize the church, not with words, but with action and deed, praise God, as we live a life of faith and complete trust in the Lord. God said in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't seek money. Don't seek pleasure. Get away from these things that will drown you in destruction and perdition. But what does he say you reach for? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Praise God, that's the thing we've got. Our quest in this life is always seeking to do the things that will always make eternal life definite and sure. Nail it down. Praise God. And the only way you nail it down is by being obedient to the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. All right, these New Testament admonitions were from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to show them to you very briefly here, beginning with a great sermon on the mount in Matthew the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 19. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Why does Jesus say this? Because, verse 21, he continues to give us the reason. For where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be also. My Lord, how's your heart going to be on things above when you've laid it up on things here on this earth? You can't mass material possessions and have your heart laid up in heaven. Praise God where your treasure is. Now that's very definite in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Take a look at this. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, the Holy Ghost commands us, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections where? Where do you put your affections? On things above, not on things on the earth.